And you could start it off with,
like, start editing episodes. Your episodes are going to be kick ass.
You know what I really want to do for Back to the Future?
He just blows right past it.
Well, whatever. I got. Well, why do you think I'm writing this stuff down? Because I want it to be cool. But you know the scene at the beginning, about the middle of Back to the Future 1, where he finally confronts his father in his nuclear suit there, and he's like,
"Silence, Earthling! My name is Darth Vader. I am an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan."
And he, like, turns on Van Halen in his ears with the old...
Did you say Van Halen?
You just named the show Van Halen.
There you go. Anyway.
That's amazing.
That was an amazing scene.
It never fails.
That is a great scene. He's got the yellow suit on.
It'd be such a good segue into, like, starting something too, you know, like.
Yeah, that's how we are starting the show this week.
It's gonna have to be.
Yeah.
It's gonna have to be that sound clip of just Eddie Van Halen ripping his guitar to pieces.
I think it's pronounced Eddie Van Halen.
For those purposes, it is. From the planet Vulcan.
The best part about that scene is the way Crispin Glover relays it back to Michael J. Fox the next morning.
Yeah.
Came down from planet Vulcan and told me that if I didn't take Lorraine out, that he'd melt my brain.
Yeah, well, let's just keep this brain melting stuff to ourselves, okay?
Oh, yeah.
All right, okay. All right, there she is, George.
Darth Vader came down from the planet Vulcan and said if I didn't ask Lorraine to the enchantment under the sea dance, he was going to melt my brain. He was so convinced of it.
That's heavy, George.
You might want to keep that to ourselves. That is a great movie.
Yeah, classic, man.
Now that is a good long pause.
Yeah,
that is a long pause.
Hey, I wanted to start the show this week instead of keeping to ending it like this. I just want to say, you guys,
right off the bat, right off the hop.
Like, no, I don't know if there's another podcast on the face of the earth where one of the co-hosts just comes out and just drops an F-bomb for no reason. Just totally gratuitous like that.
It was totally called for.
Even Kevin Smith's podcasts, as much swearing as they have, there's a purpose to them.
I think Andrew Dice Clawed cast probably drops them just like that.
So, you know, instead of working today, I was thinking about our conversation from Tumbling Saber number 60, which I hope everybody listening has already checked out. And Ads had asked us a question about whether or not a Star Wars movie could be dropped without the public knowing. And we went back and forth. And of course, it's extraordinarily unlikely. But in the event that it could happen, my assertion anyway is that it would have to be a really small movie with, I don't even know if you could really have any, like, almost any live action component to it. It would almost have to be like an animated bit with just voiceover stuff. Anyway, or some kind of small scope movie. So I thought about a potential movie, and James, you said something as sort of a premise. Do you remember what you said?
Of course I do, but for the listeners, you should probably refresh their memory.
Well, dear listeners, to refresh your memory, what James had said is that it's sort of a Castaway meets Star Wars type scenario.
Oh, I did say that. That's true.
That's true. It is true. And I thought, you know what? That's perfect. Why not a movie of Yoda on Dagobah in the early days after he gets there, after the Empire's taken over? And the whole premise of the movie could be about him and his journey in the Force and learning to be to Force Ghost. So you could get Liam Neeson to do Qui-Gon's voice. You could have Ewan McGregor do Obi-Wan's voice. I guess you could do like all kinds of like Force Vision stuff like that. Really, really weird stuff taking place almost as Force Visions. Now, what do you guys think of that idea?
I think that sounds awesome.
I like it.
like a two hour dive into the Force, like on right on Yoda's back.
I like it, but I just don't think it stay in that kind of scale budget. Like if you're gonna tackle a Yoda story, like I think you should really give it its due diligence. But I really do like the Castaway thing. Like I could see that working for a lot of different characters, even just like smugglers and stuff who, you know, have an accident in space somehow and end up on some desolate planet and are forced to try and survive against like the all these weird creatures and stuff like that. It'd be so cool.
Yeah, if you give it to the right indie director and like it, it could be a lower budget movie than I think Star Wars will always be big budget movies. I don't think Disney, Lucasfilm will ever. Who knows, right? What they'll ever.
No, do. We're completely ourselves here, but it's fun to do so.
Yeah, and in doing so, then I'll say that I really like the idea of giving it to like maybe a second or third tier director, not in terms of talent, but in terms of like box office, someone who does more independent stuff, and letting them do like, yeah, a one world crazy creature Castaway style. Because I'm sure there's a couple of executives in the room when that story got pitched that was like that were like, what? Tom Hanks, no lines for 2 hours, you know, but that.
And how long is this going to take to film? What? Nine months? What do you wait? He's going to be fat when we start and skinny when we end. This doesn't make sense. We're going to be sitting on this movie for a year. Nah. And then it turns out to be huge. Huge.
Huge. It was huge. With some, you know, classic characters. But so I love the idea. I think it'd be really, really cool. I'd watch it. Plus Dagobah, not just only do I love Yoda, but I'd like to explore Dagobah a whole lot more, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I think there's that whole part in Empire where Luke is sort of looking over towards that tree and Yoda says that place is strong in the dark side. Well, in this movie, you could find out why.
Yeah.
And I think again, that was explored in Clone Wars Season 6. I keep going back to that little goldmine of a short season, but there's no reason why you couldn't put that into an indie Yoda movie. Like, I think this movie would be, I think Yoda's the perfect character to do it too. Just very stripped down, but very like art house type movie.
I could see like even, it would be so powerful to see Yoda like beaten down and struggling, trying to make like his homestead there. You know what I mean? Like in the swamp, like who knows? There's probably obviously like Dagobah is teeming with life and you know, some of it that we saw, the very little that we saw, like we know some of it's quite big. So obviously quite dangerous. So it'd be pretty interesting to see that as well. Like him taking on like, you know, giants and stuff like that. But it wouldn't really go there. You can't really go there.
Assuming though that based on some of the stuff we've seen in Rebels that like Jedi don't really have to fear wild animals. Like if you're like at calm and stuff, didn't we sort of learn that like.
No, you're right. For the most part, anyhow. I mean, I think there's some exceptions to that as well, but like, no.
Luke got attacked by one in every one of the original trilogy movies.
Yeah, but he had no one to teach him. Didn't they sort of retcon it to like?
No, like, some are more adept at it than others. Like, Kanan teaches Ezra, and Ezra really seems to have a knack for it. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, it would be cool to see that relationship. You know, if there's so many animals there, like I'm sure that he's developed quite a few relationships. He probably even has them.
I think it'd be great.
Yeah, he probably lives in it, like a symbiotic relationship with most of them.
You bring me your week so I can eat, and I'll do little puppet shows for you
because I'm a puppet. No, I would watch that, Kyle, for sure.
Yeah, I think I would. I would absolutely, definitely watch that. Anybody else have any proposed indie Star Wars movies?
Or TV shows, Corey?
Well, I kind of a bit of a question for you in that regard. Like, I want to ask you guys, if there were like a TV show coming, like a live action TV show that was, you know, was going to be done the right way, like say on like a Netflix or maybe even HBO, something really good, high quality network, what would you guys prefer to see? A story based on like diplomacy and like politics and stuff?
No.
Yeah, I didn't figure. Like a Rogue Squadron, like solely kind of like based on like piloting, like a Top Gun of Star Wars in a way, like just those dudes, you know. Another choice would be Bounty Hunters, which has kind of been rumored. And the last one choice would be Smugglers.
Well, I think if you have Smugglers, you have Bounty Hunters. I think those would almost go hand in hand.
It's too
almost
totally...
like the Han Solo movie and the Boba Fett movie could be like.
Yeah, it seems like you stole all the ideas out of episode 60 and just kind of packaged and repackaged them here.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I was inspired by episode 60. It's playing off that. So...
I don't know if it's playing off of so much as it is repackaging, but good on you. I applaud your effort.
I got to say, I like the idea of Star Wars flight school. I could follow a couple young cadets through like fighter training. I think I'd watch that.
Yeah. I'd become to like get to Rogue Squadron. It's like Top Gun, you know, like how do you become part of Rogue Squadron? But I think what you guys were touching back on, what you guys said about Bounty Hunters and Smugglers, yes, I can see them in the same story, but it's two totally opposing sides. Like, if you have a show based on Bounty Hunters, it's their perspective, not like necessarily like they're the good guy or whatever, but that's the story you're following. And Smugglers would be, okay, yes, you can be chased by Bounty Hunters being a smuggler, but, you know, two totally different things. Like, Smugglers, the storylines can go in a much different route as well.
I hear you. I would take probably any one of those. I would not take the bunch of smugglers stranded on in a crashed ship. I think that's boring as hell.
Unless there's some sort of alien trying to eat them.
You know, then I'll just watch Qui-Gon Jinn in the movie called The Wolf. The Grey. The Grey again.
Oh, you
your
had,
favorite, James.
That you had to do that. You're giving me nightmares. I mean, shivers. I think I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
That's actually a good segue. If you guys mind, if I don't, I'll go with my first would you rather if you guys want to hear it.
Yeah, I do want to hear it.
Again, Kyle, somewhat provoked by episode 60 of the Tumbling Saber. And the
stolen.
Inspired by the introduction of the tantalizing Mr. Edition, the mysterious Mr. Edition. All right, so would you guys rather see like a conclusion and resolution to the saga? Like the saga comes to an end, that's that, and you have a happy ending.
Giggity, giggity, giggity goo. Stick around.
Basically, after that, there'd be no movies after that point.
You have no idea what you just said, do you?
Yeah, I do. Okay, you're laughing about it. This is Star Wars, man.
So is everybody
this
else.
This is serious. Okay, so but anyway, there'd be no movies after that point moving forward. You can always go back in the past, but, you know, kind of there's been restitution for the Force, and the Force is kind of like no more. Or a future for the saga where, you know, our ideas of the Force have been changed. Like, we have a whole new understanding of the Force. But there's also a continuation of that, and then we can move forward with the Force.
What you talking about? Am I allowed to say that I have no idea what you just said?
No, you're not.
I don't know. It's pretty simple, okay? Like, it's either there's a restitution and resolution to the saga and the story, and, like, the Force is no more, and, like, the saga comes to an end, and there'll be no more movies into the future at that point. Like, you can always go back in the past, 10,000 years in the past, and have a movie, but, you know, once the journals of the wills are written, there's no more moving forward. That's it. The story's done. Or you can continue that, like, as far as you want into the future, but what we know of the Force and our ideas of the Force, our understanding of the Force and the Jedi and all that are changing and evolving, but it allows for a continuation for future movies past that 100-year time span of the Journals of the Wills.
James, you go.
Fuck you.
Gotcha, bitch.
I get the question, I think. I think what you're saying is that if there's a happy ending to the saga, then there's no more movies after. If like everything's sort of like this balance brought to the Force.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, there's balance.
But
like,
if they leave it open end, or I can have it open ended. but I got to like give up my idea of like the force that I know, and I don't know, you're going to evolve into something else. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and say, keep with what I said last night, I guess, stay consistent, or maybe I shouldn't, just to mess with Mr. Edition. But I'll say, I go ahead and wrap it up in a nice, neat little bow, and then give us previous stories. Although I think it would be sad not to get like way into the future past this saga, like a story a thousand years from now might be cool too. So it might be sad to eliminate that possibility, but given those two choices, I'll take tie it up in a neat bow and then go back in the past.
I like it. What do you say, big bro?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, at some point, they got to tie up the story, right?
Alrighty then. It was pretty tough, though, for me, too. I think I'm on the same page as you guys. I think I want to see a resolution in my lifetime to all this. Whatever it is, I don't know, but, you know.
Well, you know, if they do wrap it up, what's more likely to happen? Do they then say, okay, we're starting over? And they kind of press the reset button and start the franchise anew? Or do they stay in the same universe but just go back to the beginning of it?
No. Like, you're talking about, like, rebooting everything? No, yeah. Reboots. Because no reboots for Star Wars ever, ever, ever. That's sacrilege.
I know. But, you know, if they can wait till you're dead.
Ugh. I'll come back from the dead, I swear to God. Ghost haunt them for life, whoever does that.
I mean, slowly but surely, all these things that were apparently sacred are being rebooted.
It's true, but I think Star Wars is one of those ones that just leave it alone. Oh my God, please.
All right, let me hit you guys with my would you rather. I didn't necessarily get inspired by Tumbling Saber content, but like I came up with it last night as we were recording. So, would you rather that in the Ezra and Kanan story arc, it ends with either Ezra kills Kanan, or Kanan kills Ezra? Which one would you prefer?
I like, sadly, I don't know if this even sounds like as if I'm a fan, but I like both scenarios because they're both so tragically Star Wars. I don't know. I would like to, I don't think I want to see it, but I think it kind
of
makes...
Yeah, no, of course. Look, you know, I get what you're saying. And I'm not saying you should want either of these two characters to die. But I'm just saying, you know, which way do you like seeing the... Which idea of their stories ending do you like better?
Well, I think hindsight's going to be 20/20 in this case. But I really can see it both ways. I can see Kanan killing Ezra and, like, you know, like, I have to do this for the better good kind of deal. And it that being that. And it being a sad thing. But I can also see Ezra possibly killing Kanan and moving on and possibly being in future episodic stuff on live action. I know a lot of people aren't a big fan of that, but leaving that door open, we don't know how the show is going to end. And, you know, that door is still open. Like, there's a lot of characters we don't know about. And I think everyone's kind of pointing toward Benicio. And I think the chances of that are very small. But, you know, if that were to happen, I mean, for sure, that would be the speculation.
I'm going to go with Kanan killing Ezra. That would be my choice because I halfway expect Ezra to kill Kanan.
Okay. That's a good reason.
I think there's a slightly more than 50-50 chance that eventually happens. And I think, you know, well, I don't want to spoil too much of season 3 for you, James, but, you know, you saw season 2 where Ezra is sort of waffling one side to the other, and he's buddies with Maul. He opens that Sith holocron, and oh boy, look at that! Is Ezra going down the dark side? And in season 3, they've kind of given a 180 there. He's almost a goody two shoes again.
Well, he had a big brush with it at the beginning of season 3 too. Like, he was like, it's like drugs almost. He was like hooked on it. And he was like, back off! I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, and then he has a sort of breakthrough moment with
yeah,
Kanan.
Yeah, when Kanan comes back.
And he's been the old Ezra ever since.
Yeah, he's been actually.
And I wonder. Very good. I feel like we're being rope-a-doped.
Maybe. But it seems like he's gained a new perspective,
which I think could be quickly taken away again.
Yeah, depending what happens, you know, if something were to happen to Sabine, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Something would have to trigger him. All right, Corey, it's time to talk about some poll.
Giggity, giggity, giggity goo. Stick around.
I want to talk about polls? I don't know. I didn't, which poll? I didn't run a poll this week, so.
It's almost like you guys didn't talk about this a couple of hours ago via private message.
Yeah, no. There's careful reasoning, but you know you have one job, right?
Yeah, sure.
You're the poll guy.
I didn't want to run a poll this week. Okay, no poll. I wasn't inspired, man.
Once every 2 weeks, you need to come up with a poll.
Yeah. I just can't mess with my artistic integrity, man. I need a good poll.
Yeah. Okay.
I got something better for you here. I got a whole bunch of show notes here.
Hey, Corey, thank you for not putting those in the actual show notes.
Yeah, I got. These are gonna take you by surprise, man.
We enjoy the darkness. Thank you.
Let the heat flow through you.
I got some trivia for you guys this week. If you wanna go down that route again, like kind of something like we did last week.
Welcome to Corey's Crazy Questions, brought to you by your good friends at the Tumbling Saber and the Star Wars Commonwealth, sponsored by The Color Purple.
All right, you ready?
This is your segment. You do what you want with it.
You ready? Hang on. It starts like this.
Of course it does.
Sounds like you broke your fingers.
No. All right, it's going to be some... let's start it off. I think these technically should both be... I think all these questions... I got a few questions for both of you. I'm not really going to keep track of the score or whatever, but I think you guys should nail these. They should be layups. I tried to play like the middle ground here, so... Kyle, I'm going to start with you. I don't really want to put you on the spot, so just take your time, take a deep breath, think. Can you name me minimum at least 10 clone troopers?
10. Oh my god. Well, let me see. I got Rex, Cody, Wolf, Fives. Was Nines there?
Yeah, there's a Niner, there's a 99. I'll give it to you.
Was it 99, right?
Yeah, there's also a Niner.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to name 10, I don't think.
You know, you could have just throw some stuff at the wall and seen if it stuck, because there's so many of them. But, I don't know, you forgot.
Is this the person who's talking about artistic integrity is now encouraging me to just throw stuff at the wall?
Why not?
And see what sticks?
I'll name a few to you that you think you... Bly. I think you said Bly, actually. Cody.
No, I didn't say Bly. I said Cody.
Gregor.
I'm saying Gregor.
Echo.
Echo, I like Echo.
Chopper.
Who's the old, like, hunchbacked one?
99.
Was that 99?
There's Boomer, Switch, Cut Up, Lucky, Hawkeye, Heavy, Fox, Slick, Jet, Cut Up, Falco. You know.
You're going to go through all million of them?
There's so many of them. But those are the ones that, like, I've been watching it recently, and there's some that I guess just stuck with me. So I thought you'd nail that one. All right, James, this is on you now. I think you can get this. Kind of similar question, but more in your domain. Name me 10 hobbits.
Bilbo and Merry and Pippin and Frodo and Belladonna Took, that's Bilbo's mom, and Uncle Bullroarer Took, and we have Lobelia, Sackville Baggins, and her husband Otho. There's Sam's kids, Eleanor, and Goldilocks. Am I at 10 yet?
There's, no, Goldilocks?
Yeah, Goldilocks. That's one of Sam's kids.
Really? There's also a Frodo Jr.
Oh, yeah, that's one of Sam's kids, too. And Eleanor. You saw that one in there, right?
That's 10, bro. You did it.
Yeah, here you go.
Goldilocks and Frodo Jr.
Is it is it Goldilocks? I know.
Yeah, there is a Goldilocks, I'm pretty sure.
Frodo, Jesus Christ, Samwise mailed that in.
And I, oh, you're right, it is there. Goldilocks, Tuke.
That's nuts, come
on.
I'm
telling you. I have all these screens open for stuff like this, because, all right, that.
Wait, did Tolkien drop LSD for the first time that day?
Why not?
Yeah, it's Eleanor with no, like, it's not Eleanor, right? It's Elanor. That's how we spelt our daughter's name, too.
Is Eleanor the oldest of Samwise's kids?
Yes. Eleanor the
okay,
fifth.
Okay, so
Eleanor
he, the didn't fifth. Give, he didn't give a shit after that. The other two kids, I don't care.
All right, so round one goes to James O. Jimmy boy, Jim Bob.
That was, I think that was a loaded round, but I'll take it.
Yeah, I honestly thought Kyle was going to nail it. I thought you both were going to nail these. All right, so next round, James. How many forms of communication is 3PO fluent in?
6,000?
Oh, that's a trick question. Corey's tricking you here.
Why? Why am I tricking him?
Well, then that means if you're not tricking him, you don't know the right answer.
6 million, no?
Because it's not. No, it's not.
Oh, 6 million.
Okay.
I should have. That's what I feel.
All right, get super nerdy on us then, Kyle. What's the right answer?
He's added another million in the 32 years between Jedi and The Force Awakens.
Really? Yeah, I would have given.
Bye.
Bah. I would have given James the 6 million because that's what's in the movie, but.
6 million. 6,000. What a dumb name. All right.
All right, Kyle. In which film of the Star Wars saga, which and only film does the camera pan up after the crawl?
Attack of the Clones.
Correct. Round two goes to Kyle. All right, Kyle, you're going to start this one off. Which Star Wars character wore an old costume from the Doctor Who series? Don't look it up. No Googling.
I don't know shit about Doctor Who. The only thing I know about Doctor Who is Amy Pond. That's it.
Either way, you kind of get it wrong, but it's an homage.
Wait.
To one of our.
Is it in A New Hope?
No.
Is it original trilogy? Yes.
It's a good.
I swear I'm not.
A good
stalling.
Friend of ours on Twitter adores him. This one's for you, boy.
I got nothing. I don't know.
Our good friend Lando?
Wesley, the boxerless Bosk. Bosk was the correct answer.
Bosk is a what? He's a doctor. What?
The costume he wore in Empire was from. A series like it, they took the same costume from Doctor Who and put it in Empire, basically. Like the piloting suit that he had was from Doctor Who.
I bet you Dave Donovan got that,
and I'm sure Wesley did too.
Somebody got that.
All right, James, you're up. What does AT-AT or AT-AT stand for?
I don't know.
All right, zero round. Kyle, you want to take a stab at it?
Do I get anything for getting it right?
Just the glory.
It's the all-terrain armor transport.
Correct. All right, so
all-terrain armor transport.
Yeah, we're all tied up. All right, James, you're gonna kick this one off.
Nerds.
Okay, you could do this, James. You could do this.
All right.
Where was Luke headed to in A New Hope to pick up power converters?
I have no clue.
Dude, come on now. The Tashi station, bro. Leaving me hanging
here. Even after you said it.
Okay. Really? Oh, wow. All right, Kyle, this is going to be good. And, you know, for the fans and for me, if you know the answer, which I'm quite sure you do, because you just got to play the scene in your head, okay? You got to do the voice too, please. So, Kyle, what are the odds for successfully navigating an asteroid?
3,620 to 1, something like that. 3,720 to 1.
You didn't do it in the voice. I'm not. You're wrong. That's the correct number, but you're still. It's a zero round. Moving on. You could have done so. You know, I was really looking forward to that, man. Can you do it? Come on, Kyle.
No. No.
No.
This is my hunger strike for you not giving me points for all the questions I've stolen.
You're going to go hungry, bro.
All the question you've stolen.
Here, I'll do it.
Both of
3,720 to 1. See how fun that was? All right.
Well, that's, pleasing yourself has been your forte, hasn't it? We'll get Miss Gray. We'll get Miss Gray in overseas for you. She'll take care of that.
Hang on.
You can have some happy endings.
She
with
didn't
her.
Sound like a miss. She sounded like a Ms. Ms. Gray.
She sounded experienced. Yeah. That's what she sounded like.
Oh my God.
Pardon?
Oh no, Mrs. Robinson. Oh no.
What's wrong?
Mrs. Robinson, you didn't. I mean, you didn't expect.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's definitely a bonus. All right, I think this is the last one I got here. Kyle, you got to nail these ones. I think you guys are all tied up. All right. Name me 10 places, towns, or things, like places that we hear about on Tatooine. At least 6 of them.
Where's Tatooine?
Tatooine, sorry.
10 places?
No, 6. Go with 6. That's... Yeah,
six. You just want me to name like 6 destinations on Tatooine?
Like 6 things we hear about.
Like Jabba's
Correct.
Palace.
That's one.
Mos Eisley Spaceport. Now the pod race.
There's a name for that pod race.
The Boonta Eve or Correct. Something like that?
That's 3.
The Jundlin Wastes. Yeah. Toshi Station. How many am I at?
5.
Anchorhead.
Oh yeah, there you go. See, I knew you can nail that. I still had Beggar's Canyon and Dune Sea on my list, like, because I tried to answer these questions as well, like for myself. All right, so you got your 6 there, James. Last question for you, bro. I think, you know, 6 for Kyle. We're gonna go with at least. Let's make it easy, because I named at least 10 in my head on yours, and this is your bag, so let's go with lucky number 13 for James.
We got all night.
Jeez. 13 places from Lord of the Rings. Just any place.
13 places?
Yeah, like towns, villages, like bars, whatever.
Okay. So there's the 4 farthings of the Shire. I'll count them all separately, east, south, north, and west.
Yeah, there you go, that's 4.
And then, so there's Crook Hollow. That's where Crick Hollow is where Frodo moves to. There's Bagshot Row is the name of a place in the Shire. There's Rohan, and there's Mordor, and there's Fangorn Forest, and there's Arda, and there's where do they set sail from? Jeez, there's the Undying Lands, but there's also the port,
the Gray,
at the end of the movie. The Gray Havens. Thank you. There's Lothlorien.
Where do the elves live? Yeah,
Lothlorien and Rivendell.
There you go. You got 2 more to go.
Brandy Hall, where a bunch of the hobbits live. It's a house. And Bree, the village.
There you go. I had Bree on my list. Yeah. There you go. You're done.
Jeez, there's just so many places in the middle earth.
Like, I was surprised how many I was able to come up with, man. I took a good long while to think about it, too. But I thought, you'd just be able to, nail them off, one by one.
Well, I named the name of a house. And I named the name of, the entire planet or, universe. or world, Arda.
Cool.
So like, that was pretty, it's a pretty vague category, but that's, yeah, 13.
And you didn't even have to talk about like the Black Tower.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Or any of the towers.
Yeah, but... And Mount Doom. I heard, you said
Mordor.
You said Fanghorn or Fangorn.
Fangorn Forest. Yeah.
Prancing Pony, Isengard, Helm's Deep.
Didn't say Isengard. Didn't say Helm's Deep. There's a lot of places. Yeah, it's cool. It's a big world.
Anyway, that's all I got. You guys are both winners.
I think if you kept the trivia to keeping Kyle's questions in the Star Wars category and mine in Middle Earth, we'd be much more evenly matched.
I tried to keep it fair, though. Like
Van Halen, huh?
Yeah. Here, I got one more for you, Kyle. How's this? What goes bad on the R4 droid that Luke buys before R2?
The motivator.
Correct.
All right, should we do some Would You Rathers?
Go for it, man.
Yes.
All right, so you know what? This is not, I guess, okay, I'll do my other thing later. My Would You Rather this week is monster related. Now, if only I'd written it down, this would be much easier. Okay, so here it is. Would you rather have a little run-in with Borgalet.
Borgalet!
And have your innermost secrets sort of spilled and possibly lose your mind. Or would you rather tangle with a Dianoga and maybe drown?
Yeah, I'm going with the Borgalet, man. I don't like water like that. I don't play me.
Let me soften it then. Would you rather... would you rather Borgalet or the Rancor?
You know, I'd really like some more game footage on the Rancor's abilities. You know, I want to see how swiftly they can really move. He's kind of in a confined space there, you know what I mean?
You can take him in the same place.
Yeah. I'd still like to see more game tape, but... that's a toughie.
Well, you're not getting any.
I don't know. Bodhi took that pretty bad. But he was able to snap.
He was already pretty messed up, though, before he got his brain sucked on.
No, he was a pack of nerves.
Yeah.
He had some pretty severe social anxiety going on.
Well, I don't know if it was social anxiety so much as running from the Empire with, like, super important information.
Fair enough. Man, he looked like he was going cuckoo for a while there. He looks like he pulled it together. But then again, whoever, I don't know how the information is delivered from the squid beast to Saw Gerrera or whoever interprets the info. But everything in your brain, I assume, is going to be laid bare. And I know you. You're a twisted person, so.
Hey, man. Probably, whatever. I'd probably still go with the... But it just depends. Like, you know, after someone's kind of... If there's someone there to almost, like, resuscitate you in a way or, like, kind of try and snap you out of it, I'm sure I can come out of it. I have a better chance there, I would think.
Yeah, I got to agree. I think I'll take the mental torture over... I don't know. Because you could come out, you know, and mostly be, I think, in although I guess if you escape the Rancor, I guess you're in, if you get away scot-free, you're actually completely scot-free. Whereas with the Borgalet, you know, there's going to be some damage.
Yeah, because the Rancor seems to move really slow, right? If you could just kind of get a line on him and just, all you have to do is get him to buy one of your moves. Just get him to bite on one little head fake and you're through.
Yeah, you juke and you jive. But I see what you mean there too. Like, that's what I'm saying. I want to see more game tape. Like those arms, man. Like that's, I want to see him in action. I'd love to see a Rancor hunting or something, you know, like whatever it is they're supposed to do. But I don't know. It's such a tough question in that regard. Like I'd really, cause Luke does kind of give him the fake and he gets to the first door. Right. And there's just another door behind that. So he gives him the slip the first time. And it's not like he did any Jedi-ing.
Well, yeah, but he moves a Jedi. I mean, they didn't show it in the that movie like they did in say
Phantom Menace
episode 1 when the Jedi sprinted like Steve Austin. But I would say
Stone Cold or Bionic Man?
Bionic, 6 million. Yeah, there's your 6 million. Sheesh, coming back to bite me twice tonight. But I think Luke's still a Jedi, and you have to assume that like his jukes and jives are better than most.
Yeah, I could see that, I guess. What about you, Kyle? What are you taking?
I'd be really tempted just to take my chances and just dart across that Rancor cave.
Yeah, because I really don't think you have a chance with the Dianoga, your first one. Like, even Luke would have not had a chance.
Yeah, no, you're dead with that thing. You'll drown.
Unless, like, the garbage compactor, like, gets activated and he takes off.
Yeah, no, the Dianoga's no fair. You're dead. But yeah, no, I would take my chances. I think I would just try and bolt across the Rancor pit to the other side.
Nice.
So what happens on the other side? Are you're free and clear?
Yeah, you don't have to kill him. You just have to get to the other side.
Well, in that case,
what kind of people would we be if we'd killed a Rancor? Jeez.
No Rancors were hurt in the taping of this show.
I wouldn't want to make Malakili so upset.
Yeah, he really took that hard.
Yeah. I don't want to do that to a man. That was a broken man. Okay. Someone else say something. Who else got a would you rather?
Something. Would you rather Han lived in 7, but Poe was killed in that crash? Or Han stays dead in 7, but Poe is a bad guy? He's a double agent. Remember that old theory? So which storyline do you like better? Han actually lived in 7. So we rewrite it. Han lives, survives that thing somehow, like, I guess, Maul style. Who knows? If they surgery him up.
So he still gets stabbed, but lives?
Yeah, he lives. I don't know how you want to rewrite it, but he lives. Maybe he doesn't get stabbed at all. The details are less important to me. But you get to save Han, if that's, like, your big problem. Steve, talk Star Wars. you get to save Han, but then you lose Poe as a good guy. You lose him as a character. He dies. Or if you're going to leave Han dead, then you also have to lose Poe as a good guy. He's going to be a double agent. So which of those scenarios are you going to take?
I'll save Han and lose Poe.
Yeah, you save the guy we know. For the new guy?
Yeah. Han Solo's got 40-year hooks into my heart.
Yeah, but he's also 40 years older. Like, Poe's got so much more to offer.
Oh, there's much more runway in front of Poe, no doubt. It is a good question. I mean, Poe could really turn out to be a really kick-ass character for a long time.
Well, and he's sort of like Han-esque in a way. He's like almost got a lot of Han qualities. That's why I picked him over. There's some other names I was going to use instead. But
when you phrase it that way too, it's almost as if when it comes down to it, it's like who is more of an asset to the resistance at the moment? Like Poe's super hardcore pilot. Han's still a good pilot too, though. Plus he's got the experience of being a general and just living through all that madness.
Which way are you leaning?
I don't know. I don't like either scenario, really.
Sorry, Corey. You got to pick one.
No loopholes.
You get to save Han, though, if you want. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I guess that would make the most sense to everything. Save Han, Poe dies, okay, whatever. Like, I don't want to see... I don't know. I don't want to see Poe be a double agent. I think that would be lame.
I don't mind the double agent theory, but I agree with you. I don't know. How much more story does Han have? It's tough.
The downside of that is, I mean, Harrison Ford came back and did a great job this time, but I think it's because he knew that's all he was doing. So he was going to just pour his all into it and be done. I think if he was coming back for two or more movies, I think you would see it in his work. He'd just be like, ugh, more of this.
It's true. All of it. Let's go, Chewie.
Yeah.
Just call cut already, for Christ's sake.
Maybe I leave. Batman's in Star Wars now?
It's very similar, though. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think maybe I would leave Han dead in the end, and I would... hey, for all we know, Poe is a double agent, so...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I mean, yeah, Corey, you just said Han Solo got a very good death. His character arc was complete. As hard as it was, and still is, I still have a hard time with that scene. It was a great death scene.
Yeah,
very worthy cause in trying to bring back his son.
I was actually at your place this weekend and was playing in the background. And I brought my son over with me, and he's seen The Force Awakens kind of on and off, but there was one time where he just sat down through at the halfway mark and watched it to the end, just like glued to the television. And, you know, it was coming to the end, the sun was dying out, and he was all like, oh, this guy's going to get it right through the chest. Like, he's like telling everyone, like, anyway, that's a pretty big scene.
All right, where are we going next?
I don't know. I had a... That's all the questions and stuff I had for this week.
I've used two of my three would you rathers. If you got another one, Kyle, it's your turn. If not, I'll do my last one.
Well, let's save it, because we seem to struggle to find new ones every week. I have a question for you guys. We'll end the show on this. Does that sound good?
Yep.
Okay. So, could you ever envision a scenario... Now, let's keep in mind the iconic Star Wars soundtracks. Every one of them, to a degree, is iconic. The Force Awakens is building its way there with a couple of its pieces. Rogue One may or may not. Who knows? But Star Wars is known very much for symphonic scores. So I wonder, I'm asking you guys, I'm asking everybody else out there, I'm going to run a poll after we record this. I'm going to post a poll. So our opinions will be known as the answers are coming in. But could a Star Wars movie ever have a non-symphonic soundtrack? Meaning they would either write their own rock, jazz, whatever your style is that you think would fit a Star Wars movie? Or is that unfathomable? Every Star Wars movie from now to the end of time will have a symphonic score.
Or even, can we throw, like, even into that mix, like, the idea of, like, commercial score? Where they use, like, pop music?
They could, yeah. Madonna, Cyndi Lauper.
Whatever. Just modern stuff, classic stuff. Like,
Yep. Joan Jett, Aerosmith, whatever you want to put in there. Hmm. Could they use our music in a Star Wars movie?
No, they can't.
They can't, yeah.
But it'd be really cool. Like, it'd be fun to see as, like, a fan flick, I guess. You know what I mean? If someone were to redo the music, I think that would be really cool to watch if it was well done. But I don't think it would be accepted.
No. I'm on the same page as James there. Like, there's this one, I think I shared this with you guys months ago. I think I shared it with everyone, that clip of the Danger Zone to, like,
most... Kenny Loggins, yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God, to all those X-Wings, like, all the space battles in Star Wars, like, into one clip. And it's very well choreographed, too. So, yeah, that's just hardcore. But not for the movie. I think I mentioned this a few weeks prior. But the first season of Clone Wars, there was a few scenes where there was, like... I don't know, like, they went away from the orchestral and symphonic stuff. And I was like, whoa, this really is not... I'm not feeling it. And the show would just... It was in its early onset. And, you know, I never saw it again since. Like, I'm on season three now. So I guess they kind of got the picture, too, that, yeah, this isn't really working, you know?
It would be so weird.
Yeah. So, okay, so let me walk it back a bit. Forget actual brand name musicians. What if they just wrote, like, rock music for a Star Wars movie? And they got a rock band to perform original rock music or jazz or whatever for a Star Wars movie?
It would have to be like that indie, Yoda's indie movie we were talking about. I don't think it could work for like a saga movie. Well, not that it couldn't work. I'm sure it could work.
Yeah, forget sagas. Sorry. Sagas would always... no way. There's no way that the sagas would not have a symphonic score, but a standalone.
Yeah, so... I guess that could work. As long as it was all original music. I don't know that it has to be symphonic. In fact, maybe that's, you know, part of the evolution that old fuddy-duddies like me will get upset about when they do it. But I could see that happening for a standalone. I couldn't see it happening, but I could imagine it being cool. I don't know if they'll ever do it, but I could imagine it being good.
I wonder if the Han Solo movie seems like a good place to start with that idea.
That's a good point.
But that's also really soon, and I think that's electroshock therapy to Star Wars fandom.
Isn't that something that we should have announced? That, like, isn't this kind of a big shocker that it, as of literally, excuse me, today is the beginning of filming for Project Red Cup. The Han Solo movie starts today, like the filming for it. Isn't that, I was so not expecting that. Like, this is really early ongoing stuff. Like, they're going to have, again, so much time to work on this like they do with Episode 8. It's awesome. They're so ahead of the game.
Yeah, this is right on schedule. I mean, they had announced that it was... I think they said it was going to be late January or early February.
Really, eh? Because I heard a lot of rumors online today that it was, you know, supposed to be March-ish.
It didn't... The news today didn't... I mean, yeah, it came out of the blue with the clapboard and everything, the picture that we saw on Twitter. But I wasn't shocked, but I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I remember hearing.
I was, I wouldn't say shocked, but I was definitely stoked and like a little surprised to hear about it. I was like, wow, but definitely good news. And I definitely hope we get some set photos soon, or at least some character photos. I'd love to see how they're all looking.
Yeah. Well, who would not want that? Yeah, I mean, with those two guys directing, I would hope that they're going to have fun not only with the movie itself, but with us as fans, you know, on the sidelines waiting. That they're going to just tease us, you know, not week after week, but on a fairly regular basis. They'll throw things our way that we can go a little bit nuts with. It's only fair.
Yeah, definitely. It means it's begun, man. That's for sure.
What's this countdown called? What's the hashtag?
Oh, man.
Something for Solo or something for Han? Holding for Han?
we'll have to sit on that.
That's a good one. Let's think about that for the next Sith Disturbers. We'll try and come up with one, maybe, no?
Yep. It's homework, Corey.
Yeah. Don't tell me about homework. I got two pages in front of me, bro. Look at all those questions I gave you guys that you so horribly failed upon.
What are you talking about? Get out of here.
You guys did all right. I say you passed, but you both tied, so there was no real winner, but you're both winners.
Corey, you're the winner.
We're all winners.
And do your homework.
You're a wonderful human being.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, let's get out of here. Tell the folks where they can find you.
You first, James.
They can find Corey. Yeah, they can find Corey at Chop Rules with a Z.
And you can find Jim Bob over there at Tommy Bombadil 1.
But don't call me Jim Bob.
Jim.
Nope, that's no good.
Jimmy?
No.
Is that all there is for James?
Well, Corey's out of choices. Oh, Lord in heaven. I'm at Tumbling Saber on Twitter, Facebook, and you can find this as well on Instagram. And don't forget to check out our awesome friends at the Star Wars Commonwealth. Everybody's dropping episodes left, right, and center. But most importantly, this week especially, you got to go back in time. Go back to Wednesday. Check out Generation X-Wing number 100, an epic episode. really fun episode. You definitely got to get in on that. You know, it's going to be one of those moments that, you know, 30, 40 years from now, your grandkids are going to say, "Grandpa, where were you when Generation X-Wing dropped their 100th episode?" And you can tell them all about it. The exploits of Rob and the team at Gen X-Wing.
Booyah.
Do it.
Yeah, good job, boys.
Do it. And the Skyhoppers, the Nerd Room, Talk Star Wars, and the Rogue Squadron podcast. Lots of good stuff coming out of the Commonwealth. It's a network to not miss in 2017. And you can find us also at tumblingsaber.com, where you can sign up for the newsletter. And I would actually love a few more subscribers so that I can be motivated to do some work on that side. And that's it. Corey, James, thank you, boys.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. Way to go, boss. Yeah. Way to put the show notes together at the last minute.
Yeah.
So Corey could skip them.
Yeah. I can't. I created my own show notes.
And that's it, folks. Thanks again. We will catch you guys in a couple days with episode 61 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. We'll have a great show lined up for you then as well. And thank you again so much for listening. You guys really make all this podcasting stuff more than worth the effort. So cheers to you, and we'll catch you again in a couple days.
Thank you for listening to the Sith Disturbers podcast, brought to you by the Warped Minds at the Tumbling Saber, proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Van Halen?
It's such a good beat that he plays in his ear, too.